Hi, it's 303-713-7600, but it is also true that we attack when necessary the injustices and the uncertainties of life. It really is. It's 807. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. I would love to talk to you about the issue of sexual assault in the military. Is the DOD, the Department of Defense, covering things up? Well, we were attracted to an article written for truthout.org and TruthDig by Colonel Ann Wright, who is these days a co-author of Dissent, Voices of Conscience. And we got in touch with her. She's a retired Army Reserve colonel, a 29-year veteran of the Army and Army Reserves. She has also served as a diplomat in Nicaragua, Grenada, Somalia, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Sierra Leone, Micronesia, Afghanistan, and Mongolia. She resigned from the Department of State on March 19, 2003, in opposition to the war in Iraq, or the invasion of Iraq. Colonel Wright, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, Aaron. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You know, I was so outraged, and one of our listeners was too, when we read your article about we had found it independently, by the way, about the Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Office, the head of it, being prohibited to testify before Congress and the House Subcommittee on National Security and Foreign Affairs. How is that possible?
It was amazing this last Thursday when the House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee had this hearing on sexual assault in the military, and the office director of the policy group for Department of Defense on sexual assault prevention and response was forbidden by her bosses, even under subpoena by the U.S. Congress. They knew she had been subpoenaed by the Congress, and her senior bosses in Department of Defense, I mean some of the top leaders of Department of Defense, forbade her to go to this hearing and testify. It was unbelievable.
So Dr. Kay Whitley, is it, or Whiteley? Whitley?
Whitley.
Chief of SAPRO, or this office, which was set up to look into sexual assault and prevention, right? And she's not even allowed to testify about a problem that's gotten to be pretty big.
Well, I think what happened was that she, if under oath, she would have had to have told the sordid tale that indeed there is not much support at the senior levels of Department of Defense for preventing sexual assault. She would have to say that a committee that or a task force that was ordered to be set up by Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld in 2004 was not set up until 2008, 4 years later, and it is still yet to meet. These were civilians that were supposed to be appointed to a committee to or a task force to go around to help determine what's going on this huge, huge criminal problem we have in our military, which is the sexual assault of our own military service members by service members.
So, and this 15-person civilian task force, it has yet to meet. Nobody has met. Who's on it?
Nobody has met. I don't even know who was on it. I went to a meeting of what was called the Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services last year to put out an oral and a written testimony asking that Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services to please be much more proactive in getting Department of Defense to really take this issue on. And there I met three active duty people who were the staff for a committee that had or a task force that still did not have its members assigned to it. And I said, well, how long have you been working on this this task force that has no members? And one major said, oh, I've been on it for a year and a half. Another one said, oh, for a year. I said, well, what do you do? And they said, well, we're waiting until they nominate the people on it, and then, well, of course, we'll start moving. So here we've got another year that's passed that nothing has happened. So that kind of gives you an indication of really how much Department of Defense is really interested in resolving this issue.
Yeah, sounds like it's a huge priority. We can't even get accurate numbers, but apparently the Veterans Administration estimates that 1 in 3 women is assaulted in the military. Is that correct, sexually assaulted?
That's right, and the figures are coming out because women of my age, of women who joined the military during the Vietnam War, are going now to the Veterans Administration for a variety of medical issues. And VA has a little questionnaire that they ask women and men to fill out when they come in for these services. And finally, they have put on there the question, were you ever sexually assaulted or raped while you were in the military? And the women that are my age group are now starting to come forward saying what happened to them. They never reported it during the Vietnam era. I mean, it's a very big step when you go forward in a military, in an institution like the military, a closed
anywhere,
ranked
but in
group.
The military in particular, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah. And so now we're getting the figures that one in three women have been sexually assaulted, and another very stunning figure that was given out by the Deputy Chief of Staff of the Army for Personnel at that hearing last Thursday. He is the first Department of Defense official, in my knowledge, who has formally stated that there is a problem on sexual assault of men in the military. And what he said was that 12% of the people who have reported being sexually assaulted in the military are men. 12% of them.
Wow.
So it shows that there is a big, big problem here. And for the guys to come forward finally to start saying what's happened to them, that's a major thing. We knew that there was a big problem because a lot of us who have been involved in trying to help women who have been sexually assaulted to get their cases put forward and the perpetrators prosecuted, there have been a lot of guys that will come up to you after you've talked about the issue of sexual assault and the various events that I've spoken at. And there'll usually be some guy that's kind of waiting until all the crowds kind of leave, and as you're walking out the door, he'll come up and say, you know, that you were talking about that sexual assault to poor women. Yeah, that happened to me too. And it's just, I mean, it's so heartbreaking to hear the stories of all of these young men and women who are not being treated properly by their own chains of command and by their own fellow military people, that criminal acts are being committed on them.
It's really appalling. I mean, you know, when Congressman Christopher Shays, who's a Republican, speaks out about it, the full committee chairman is Henry Waxman. He said that the DOD's position to prevent Whitley from testifying was ridiculous in indicating the DOD is covering something up. Well, you know, and your research has apparently found, and you've been prohibited in terms of dealing with it in certain meetings about it, I read in the article, on which, by the way, by everyone who wants to find Colonel Ann Wright's article, it's on truthout.org. But you mentioned several cases that are extremely disturbing of, say, Army Special SPC, which is Army Specialist Suzanne Swift, who was raped in Iraq and said she could not meet with anybody on the ongoing case. And then you were told you couldn't meet with anybody on that. The case was closed as far as the Army was concerned, but still you couldn't get anybody to meet with you on that. Her rapist had not been prosecuted, as you note. Swift ended up with a court-martial and 30 days of jail time because she went AWOL because she was still in the same unit with the rapist and didn't want to be assigned with him. They refuse to deal with this at all. And, you know, then there are the women who also have committed who allegedly have committed suicide. But apparently the evidence indicates that they did not commit suicide. Those are disturbing, too.
And indeed, they were murdered.
Army Private First Class Tina Priest, who was raped in Taji, Iraq, found dead 10 days later of a gunshot wound, but the family's measurement taken of her arms and the angle of the bullet found she could not have pulled the trigger of her M16 with her finger, and the Army alleges she pulled it with her toe, but was there any evidence of that?
No. And we're trying to get the Army to come forward and really reopen the investigations on the these alleged suicides of Tina Priest, of Private First Class Lavina Johnson, of Kara Durkin, a young woman who was found dead in Afghanistan on Bagram Air Base. She had reported, or she had mentioned to her family back in Boston that she had found some very disturbing things going on in her finance office, and if anything ever happened to her, to please investigate it. Well, she was found dead of a gunshot wound, and the Army says that, she committed suicide, and trying to get them to reopen this to say, listen, there are some allegations that are out there that you need to take into consideration. We're not having much luck on getting these investigations reopened, and we're calling on Congress, and we've got four congresspersons who are now signing a letter requesting hearings on these alleged suicides.
And who are those congresspeople so we can encourage them?
Surely. Congresswoman Diane Watson from California, Congressman Elijah Cummings out of Maryland, mm-hmm. Congressman Lucy Clay out of Missouri, and Congressman Donald Payne out of New Jersey.
Okay. And how can we follow this issue, and how can we... I'm sorry, I got interrupted a little bit. I couldn't hear all the congressmen, so I'm going to have to look it up again. But I wonder if... you know, how do we handle this? You suggested that we write to people, but the outrage of this is stunning to me. And eventually protest and people reporting it, and actually people within the Air Force Academy got it explored. But it was also, and even though I criticize Republicans often heavily and thoroughly, but Wayne Aller did insist on an investigation and helped with that. How do we get our senators and our congresspeople to take action on this when there are so many other things pulling our attention? Not an
well,
easy question.
It is hard, and it is only because their constituents are putting pressure on them to do it. There are some very good congressmen and women, both Democrats and Republicans, that are so... offended, outraged by what's happening. If it hadn't been for a Republican congressman from Texas, Ted Poe, raising
yes.
the issue of what's happening to women contractors in Iraq.
The woman who was imprisoned in a crate or something and raped
yeah.
repeatedly. Yeah,
that's
a
right.
horrible
Jamie
story.
Lee Jones.
Jamie Lee Jones.
And the two women who have come forward and testified before Congress about what happened to them, and yet there are at least 40 to 50 more women contractors who allege that they've been sexually assaulted too. So some of the congressmen and women really do take this seriously, and they just jump right into it and force the military to give the families the results of the investigations so that the families can look at it and ask questions. And then we're trying to get the Congress to force the military to reopen some of these investigations and talk to more people on these military bases, or now track them down. You know, in the case of Lavina Johnson and Tina Priest, it's been almost 3 years since they've been killed. But we know that there are men and women in their units that have more information, that were never questioned, or should be able to, under oath, say, was what you said portrayed accurately in the reports that were given out?
Or was it sanitized? You know, I have so many questions to ask you. Can you stay with us for one more second, for one more segment,
sure.
Colonel Wright? Thank you so much. And if you want to ask questions of Colonel Wright directly, you may do so, too, at 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. It's 8:19. We do have to check in with traffic, though, because it is rush hour. So 8:19 it is. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for J. Marvin. Stand by for Colorado Progressive Traffic with John Turk. Lack of investigation and clarification on sexual assault in the military. Is the DOD, Department of Defense, trying to cover it up? We're talking to Colonel Ann Wright, who wrote an article of TruthDig and also on truthout.org. She is a retired Army Reserve colonel and has looked into this, a 29-year veteran of the Army and Army Reserves. She is the author, co-author of Dissent, Voices of Conscience. And Colonel Wright, we're throwing out a lot of names of congresspeople here and names of victims. And is there a website where we can go and find out more information about this subject and maybe even contribute to the cause of trying to get it more into the light of day? Colonel Wright?
SuzanneSwift.org is one of them. It has a lot of information on it. There are various organizations that have over a period of time that have been doing things. We don't really have one main website, and that's a very good point. We probably, now that we're getting enough attention on this, we probably do need to create one that will have a list of all the resources that people can go to. Susan Avila Smith is a woman in the Seattle area who has done a lot of work on this, too. And I believe her website, and I should know this, But if you Google Susan Avila Smith, she's got a lot of resources on that. She's a counselor for women who have suffered sexual assault. The Veterans Administration actually is doing quite a bit of work. They've set up 14 different facilities, small facilities, for counseling of women so they can have a treatment program for PTSD, post-traumatic stress, that comes from, not only battle, going through combat, but, the combat of fighting off your own fellow military members that are trying to sexually assault you. So the Veterans Administration is trying to set up some of these facilities for women who are finally coming forward to say that they have been sexually assaulted from the time that they were on active duty.
And this doesn't, there are going to be people who say, well, see, if men are getting sexually assaulted, then we shouldn't have gays in the military and women shouldn't be in the military. What do you say to people who say things like that, Colonel Ann Wright?
Well, it's certainly not the gays that are attacking their own fellow service members. It's the heterosexuals.
Yeah, I know.
Going after everybody. And women have a place. First, I wish we had a national culture where we wouldn't have to use our military or wouldn't use our military so frequently of invading and occupying other countries that may not agree with us. That said, I do believe we'll probably always have a military, and it should be an opportunity if men and women want to serve their country in that manner, that they should be able to do so without fear of being criminally attacked by people in their own organization.
And you say it correctly, because criminally attacked, it's a crime of power. It's not about sexual assault is kind of a misnomer. We use it because that's the type of assault used. But it is assault with a deadly weapon, which is the same thing as being attacked with, well, maybe a little different because of the sexual connotations and the way that we impose upon it. But it really is an assault about power and assault. It is a criminal attack, assault against one person against another. And
I think
that's why it has nothing to do with the fact that there are, men and women in the military or the fact that they're gays in the military or anything else. Let me ask another question. In terms of this, the contractors, I know that the military, at least theoretically speaking, we have courts martial to deal with the problem and they can be charged. But what about the contractors? Weren't they given some sort of immunity by the Bush administration and the Republicans in Congress in order to not take responsibility for crimes committed overseas?
Yeah, initially they were. There was they had just kind of forgotten about what to do about contractors and whether they abused their own contracts toward the people of Iraq or Afghanistan, much less assaults that occurred on contractors. The women now have to bring suits in federal court. They also are trying to work through these contracts that they sign, which essentially kind of foregoes, you say you will forego any sort of legal action against your own contract, your own organization, for the conditions that may have been created. Several of the women have some very good lawyers, and they're kind of breaking through all of this stuff so that they can sue these people or bring them up, on criminal charges. One of the other things to think about, too, is right in the United States of America, in the last 4 months, we've had 3 military women who've been killed in one state.
North Carolina.
The state of North Carolina.
We've had
the young Maria Lauterbach that was killed. She was pregnant by a Marine who had a protective order against him to stay away from her, and he murdered her and then burned her body and the body of their child. We've had 2 other women now in North Carolina that have been killed by other military members, another one that was pregnant, another one who was also burned. So there's by Marines. I mean, there's an interesting phenomenon going on here in the Marine Corps where it seems that the word is out that burning of bodies seems to be an all-too-common trait. It's happened in Afghanistan, in Iraq. Remember that family that was burned? First, the young woman was assaulted, and then the family members killed, and then they were burned?
Yes.
It's really scary what's happening right now.
It is very frightening. And I'm very glad that you're on the front lines of this issue, shedding light upon it and leading us into a way that we let me know as soon as Erin at ErinHartShow.com. Anytime, please let me know if there's a new centralized website. I will, meantime, Google Susan Avila Smith, and also we'll check out SuzanneSwift.org so that we can look for more information on this issue. Colonel Ann Wright, it may sound corny, but I salute you and I thank you for your service to our nation, to the females in this country, and to the men as well. I mean, it's really important and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Erin. Thanks for your interest in this.
Well, thank you. Who could not be possessed by this? It is extremely important to talk about it. So let's do that, shall we? 303-713-7600. Sexual assault in the military, is it a big problem? Is it because of the integration of the military? Of course it's not. The military, perhaps if it were more integrated, might be a better place for everyone to work. 8:30 in the morning it is. I'm Erin Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. It's 303-713-7600. Time to check in with the fine John Turk in Colorado's Progressive Traffic coming up. Just to give you a little billboard, too, we're also going to be talking to all kinds of mayhem being committed by right-wing writer who's done it again. First he went after John Kerry, now he's going after Barack Obama. We'll be checking in with Media Matters, as Jay does every Tuesday right here on Jay's show on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Time to check in with John and Colorado's Progressive Traffic. Oops, I got caught eating my anchovy sandwich. It's 8:33. Good morning. Thank you all for joining us on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I know John loves my sandwiches. This morning, I read it into his ear today earlier off the air. And he thinks what I eat is disgusting. So does my sister. So does my entire family. I ate whole grain bread. Good for me. Dr. Wheel recommends whole grain bread. Little cream cheese. Anchovies for omega-3s, onions. I would have put on olives, but I didn't have any. These great little English cucumbers that are fabulous, and parsley. Now that's breakfast. I can hear John cringing. 8:34, I'm Erin Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. What do you mean, not just you? The entire audience, you think? You don't think anybody's weird like me and eats fish bodies for breakfast? Where do you think eating herring and kippers came from?
Well, I'm sure some people that live in the coastal areas do, but it's pretty disgusting.
Coastal areas.
Yeah.
No, Listen, I grew up in Nunn, Colorado. My sister will attest to you. I've been eating anchovies for breakfast since I was a child.
That is disgusting.
I know.
Is your breath okay the rest of the day?
I chew, you know, I have Listerine.
Well, I know, but, you know, anchovies are the most disgusting thing in the world.
Oh, they're wonderful. They're great. Anchovies are fabulous. They're the best. You'd probably run over them with your bicycle or your car, but I happen to like them. You know, one of the weirdest places I ever ate a hot anchovy sandwich was I used to drink, and I shouldn't drink, and it was bad drinking. I was terrible, and needed to recover. I mean, I have the disease, okay? So, and I'm in recovery now and whatever. But at one point in time, I used to drink. And so I was standing out in the middle of a road in Portugal, thumbing a ride to get back to Lisbon from the south where I had been partying. And this trucker picked me up, and bless him, I got in the, and I was, excuse me. Right before this, I had gotten into a car, and the guy tried to cop a feel. I slugged him, asked him to stop the car. Thank God he did, and I jumped out of the car. So then I jumped into a truck with this truck driver, and he was eating a massive anchovy sandwich, and that's when I fell in love with anchovies as a sandwich material. It was delicious. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning, and it was one of the best things I ever tasted. Well, I've been eating anchovies since I was a child, in truth. This was just fresh anchovies, which are even better if you can get them. Like small little fry. Ah, delicious. So they're not as salty. They're actually very good. It was sort of like, it's a cross between sardines and the size of anchovies. It was fresh anchovies. If you ever get a chance to eat them, eat them, eat them, eat them. I know. I like weird stuff for breakfast, and I shouldn't be hopping on that topic perhaps right after a discussion on sexual assault, but part of me wants to run away from that knowledge that our women in our military serving our country patriotically and men are being sexually assaulted, and the Bush administration's government once again is looking the other way. Big surprise. Oh, I know. If we just ignore it, it won't be a problem. Meantime, women are being killed. Great. That's good. And I'm being sarcastic, okay? Just so that you know, I don't think it's good. I think it's horrible. I think it's a travesty. I think it's a sin. You know, but part of what I talked about yesterday is there is so much wrong with this country, you kind of wonder where to start. You really do. You know, and pundits can wonder, well, where's the landslide? Why isn't Obama doing better? Why isn't... Because he's new and untested and untried. But you know what? He inspires hope. He engenders enthusiasm. He's gotten more people to register to vote than have in years. And you're whining? 303-713-7600. It's 8:37 in the morning. Actually, this was a right-winger whining. David Brooks, who, as right-wingers go, isn't so bad. But he, you know, why isn't he doing any better? Well, because it's, you know, the first African-American to run for office. He's biracial. He's getting introducing himself to the country. There's a lot to know about him and a lot of distortions. And we're going to be talking about the distortions about him coming up with Paul Waldman of MediaMatters.org, because we have to, because yet again, another creepy book has come out, an insane lies being told about Barack Obama. We'll dismantle and dismiss some of them with help from Media Matters coming up. Meantime, we can talk about sexual assault in the military. We can talk about the coarsening of our political rhetoric. Is it fair to jump on a candidate such as Bob Schaefer, for example, because his campaign manager is foul-mouthed and his son has some disturbing features on his Facebook page? Is that a fair thing to talk about? Should we talk about it? And if you want to revisit my tirade against bicyclists, I still worry about them. I still don't like them. They still annoy me. I wish they all had their own lanes elevated, okay? And that way, I might even buy a bike. Because I'll tell you something, if you are, I know warm air rises and exhaust therefore would rise, maybe we should have it be sunk below, and that way the exhaust could just drift up. But anyway, 303-713-7600. A plague on bikers who brag about breaking the law and who assault people, but a plague on car drivers who cut them off and try to kill them too. So I'm equal opportunity. I don't like bad drivers either, just to let you know. 303-713-7600. Brantley writes, Aaron, love you. My wife and I have installed 6 clotheslines in our basement to dry clothes instead of using the dryer. We've also been talking about energy conservation this morning. Saves us at least $20 a month. Also, we have gone to cloth napkins and handkerchiefs, which we buy at the thrift store, make ourselves, saving us about $15 to $20 a month and saving the environment. We dug up our front yard to plant a garden. Our backyard has a small garden. The grass is yellow. We only water what we can eat. Can't eat the grass, so it gets no water. Well, if you had a horse, you'd have to. The neighbors don't like it, yet we're the ones saving money and helping out the environment. My Republican family, I'm from South Carolina, wife from North Carolina, does not do any of this. Reason, number one, too much effort. Two, they all seem to think our lovely government will take care of us. Three, they are all told over and over again that global warming is a Democratic liberal scam and does not exist. And four, this is his words, not mine, Republicans are just plain stupid. I will amend, some Republicans are just plain stupid. Have a great day, and thanks for filling in for Jay Brantley. Now, Brantley, thank you so much. I have actually dug up part of my backyard. I also garden in containers, and those do get water. And the reason I garden in containers is because that way the water isn't as diffuse. I can water the container and therefore use less of it. I have a great crop of lettuce growing. I have cherry tomatoes. The dill just died off. I'm about to replant that and some parsley. I have a thriving crop of basil going. I have herbs. I have lavender. I have sage, 2 kinds of sage, purple and green, rosemary. It really does cheer you up too. I like it. And I use cloth napkins. Handkerchiefs I use often. However, I have to confess, yesterday I felt really bad. And here again, I'm not perfect. I'm not sanctimonious. I'm not, you know, I felt guilty though. See, the problem with talking to people like Sustainable Dave and listening to Brantley too and being inspired by him is I'm going to have to change. I really am. I'm going to have to change. I bought Kleenex yesterday. I know. I bought tissue. Actually, it was Costco brand, cheapo kind. And I did. I bought tissue. I have an aunt from South Carolina coming. I just don't feel comfortable going, hi, here's a cloth handkerchief. You use it. But I used her as an excuse, I confess. I like having Kleenex. I have allergies. I sneeze a lot. I would be using up the environmental energy washing clothes all the time because I sneeze so much. So, you know, come on. John, welcome to AM760 Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Aaron, how are you?
I'm pretty swell. You?
Good. I love your show when you fill in, Aaron. I only get to hear you when you did Mario's show last week and now this week with Jay, and a number of times when you filled in for Jay before. But I love it when you're on. I think you really add a tremendous dimension, and it's you're fun. And I loved your show last week when you were talking about how Barack could strategize against some of these attacks and take them on. I thought that was a great discussion you had.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You bet. I just wanted to chime in on this, the assault in the military on women, and men, but mostly on women. It's disgusting. It's absolutely repulsive, and there is no way we should tolerate it. What do you think we can do about it?
I don't know. You know, it's always a conundrum to me. I think speaking out is always good, don't you?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I think unless you name it, unless you claim it, unless you say, okay, it's happening, first you have to announce the problem. And I knew there was sexual assault in the military, but I didn't know it was this bad. I did not know, for example, that women were allegedly committing suicide, and it wasn't true. You know what I mean? I did not know. I knew suicide was up in this war. I knew it was bad. I knew that women had committed suicide, but I did not know that some of them were also victims of assault. I did not know that. And so when I read this article, I literally got tears in my eyes and went, I have to talk to Colonel Ann Wright, you know, and I'll ask John. And John, bless him, went after her and got her. I think that's one way. And as a talk show host, it is my distinct honor to do that. I think they need a centralized website, don't you? I mean, I'm going to look, and I will post on my website, AaronHartShow.com, in the listener forum, and I'll try to find some centralized links that I can post in my link to links, you know, which I'm going to be updating shortly. But while I get that organized with the webmaster, just go to my listener forum. I've got some links there about election polls and stuff that you can find, and Sustainable Dave, who I had on last week on Mario's show, to talk about ways to improve the energy. And I'm going to start using my listener forum there. And likewise, if you all have some tasty links, send them to me in an email and I'll post them or put them on the listener forum. And, you know, if they're bogus or something, I will take them down. But if they're good, I'll keep them up. I think that's part of the way that we can communicate with each other. I don't necessarily have a blog, but I do have a website, Aaron, E-R-I-N, Hart, H-A-R-T, show.com. And I think, you know, the internet is a very powerful tool. I also think that the more women speak out and are empowered, and what I'm heartened by is that Republican congressmen too, like Congressman Ted Poe and Congressman Christopher Shays, was outraged. So if we get bipartisan support with this, it's like the toys for kids. You know, today they passed a huge reform of the Consumer Product Safety Administration. Why did they do that? Because moms and dads across this country and aunts and uncles like me, you got angry and said, no way are you poisoning our kids with lead toys from China. Cut this out. Stop it. You are not going to be doing this. And so, you know, we demanded that our government be accountable to us. And that is going to be one of the ways that we have to do that. We have to stop letting them talk to us as if we're children and we don't matter. We do matter. And I think flooding their offices with emails, talking to them, calling up, sending handwritten letters helps too. Do a variety of things, because if it's for example, if it's an email blast, they can dismiss it and say, oh, they're all up in arms. They're being ordered to do this. The other thing is go to your local VA. Say, what's going on about this? How can I help? What can I do? You know, if you've counseled or you've done things on this, offer to help with your services. If you've got professional expertise, donate some of your time to the U.S. military. And help counsel people who have PTSD and sexual assault. And at the same time, teach our men and young men and women how to be responsible sexually and not to look at each other as other. That's why I wailed on Justin Schaefer's website today, his Facebook page, because some of it's misogynistic, because he bragged that slavery was a good thing, because he diminished and belittled liberals. You know, and I'm trying not to. I do belittle Republicans sometimes. I do it. I do it in the name of fun, and I try to be funny about it. But, you know, we all have to remember that Republicans are people, too. And, you know, and that young boys who are growing up particularly have to learn the difference between sex for love and sexual assault. And they have to learn that it actually is a crime of power. You won't have children who grow up to be adults who bully and assault and attack if they grow up feeling loved and nurtured. And that's my rant.
Well, I like it. And I want you to know I like anchovies, too.
Do you?
Yeah.
Excellent. You know, it's so hard to find people who like anchovy pizza.
I know
you can find them. It's like it's like sushi. Anchovies, it's an acquired taste maybe, but I've actually liked them since I was a kid, but I love salty things. So I was a natural for anchovies.
Well, and you're the only other person I know who does. I haven't really been looking for that.
they're very good for you, too.
Yeah.
They've got omega-3s. They do make you a little thirsty, but other than that, they're great.
Well, Aaron, thanks very much. And where can one find you when you're not on filling in on these things?
Well, that I'm still freelancing around the country. I keep trying to get hired on, and I do fill in. I do voiceovers as well, but I am beating the bushes, you know, like everybody else. Every time I try for Air America, though, they get a new program director. They've got somebody there now. New, I'll try it again. I don't know. It's kind of hard to get.
Do you have a website?
I do. Erin Hart Show, E-R-I-N, Hart, H-A-R-T, show.com. That was the place I was talking to about the listener forum and everything.
Yeah.
So.
Well, super. And thanks a lot.
Thanks. Keep in touch and join the mailing list, and that way you'll get an email blast, and I'll let you know where I'm appearing.
I'll do that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Bye. Another anchovy lover heard from. Woohoo! Yeah, see, that's my evidence that there is a power greater than ourselves, is that God made anchovies, and they're fabulous, and people like them. By the way, just to give you a little tip, too, we can talk about the sexual assault in the military. We can talk about what to do about it, how to report it. Why, you know, it's underreported in the... One of the first cases I covered as a Cub reporter was a rape case. The lawyer literally walked across... making fun of the victim in this case, had a pair of pants over a pair of pants, let his pants down, walked around the courtroom making fun of her because she said she tried to walk with her pants when her pants were pulled down. He said, like this? And the judge allowed it to get away with it. So things have changed a little bit, but not enough. As long as we look at each other as less than, this is going to be part of the problem. 303-713-7600. Now, I would love to talk to you about any and all topics that we've brought up this morning. I also very much want to talk to you about, I'll always talk about anchovies. But, you know, if you have any weird foods that you like that no one else does, be thinking about that maybe for the next hour after we talk to Paul Waldman, although I'm sure we'll all be so outraged about the latest Obama smears. We'll have to talk about that, too. 303-713-7600. It's 8:50 in the morning. Welcome. The fine John Turk is coming up with Colorado's Progressive Traffic. We'll be right back with your thoughts on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Hi, this is Erin Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's 8:53. We'd love to talk to you about sexual assault in the military. Really, it does come down to self-respect, doesn't it? And that's why, and respect for others. It's really that old, you know, it is that Hebrew Bible dictate, do unto others as thou would do unto thyself, which is in the Torah. And, you know, it's really true. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And love your neighbors as yourself and love yourself as your neighbors do. I mean, I add that last part, too, because it's important. Sometimes when I hear things like the sexual assault in the military, I just want to think about anchovies, frankly, because it's much easier to talk about fun foods than it is about sexual assault. Gloria in El Paso County, but talk about it we must and talk about it we will. Hi, Gloria. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
I wanted to talk about a slightly different topic.
You may.
Okay. I live in northern El Paso County. We're in an unincorporated area. And we are about to be one of the first communities in the Front Range to have oil and gas exploration within about 900 feet of my home. And I wanted to just say that we've had such difficulty with all of our Republican representatives. They won't even return our phone calls. And I think it just proves how in the pocket of the big oil companies they are.
John McCain's already promised them $4 billion more of tax cuts.
Oh, I know. I know. Our own state representative, I went to Denver. I told her I was coming. I just wanted to shake her hand. She avoided us. She won't talk to us. She won't answer emails. She won't come to meetings. And it just seems that it goes from the state level right up through the federal. So, again, we're all aware of it, but I just wanted to let people know of the struggle that we're having here.
This is part of the reason why I don't like the idea of just drill, 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 drill. I understand that there are going to have to be some compromises made, but most of the wells that are being dug in the Rocky Mountain West anyway are gas, not oil anyhow. And absolutely, if we don't wean ourselves off of oil, wouldn't you much rather have a wind turbine near your house? Maybe you wouldn't. Yeah. I would.
No, we would. I think they're lovely. Actually,
I think they're kind of lovely. I look at them as modern sculpture. I like them.
I do, too. I do, too. I do, too.
I like them much better than those sinking duck oil well, you know, those things that bob, like those little ducks that used to dip their beaks in the water, you know?
Right.
I used to think of them as that. Remember those ducks we had when we were kids that had the water in their bottoms and then their noses would dip in the water? That's how I think of oil wells, you know? That's what they look like to me. Dipping ducks.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're most welcome, and keep us posted on how that goes with that battle at Gloria. Unresponsive legislators are
absolutely
deserve to be thrown out of office, even in northern El Paso County, where I know it's difficult to throw out a Republican.
It is very hard, but we'll keep trying.
Keep trying. Hey, Colorado's going more and more progressive every day. 303-713-7600. And by progressive, I also mean advocating change. Elaine writes, and thank you for writing emails to me, too. You can send those to Erin at erinhartshow.com. John also passes on your emails to the instant messages, so I'll be catching you up on some of those as well. She says, earlier this morning, we were discussing reluctance to conserve energy. She has a theory. She lives in a very conservative area. She says, all my neighbors have stuffed into garages, snowmobiles, ski-doos, dirt bikes, ATVs, etc. I think a lot of people associate recreation as something that requires an engine, fuel, and noise. I believe at the subconscious level, they fear that if conservation was going to become the norm, their fun would be taken away from them. It's human nature to make fun of something you fear. Anyway, that's my theory. When we visited Denmark, our host family spent weekends in a rowboat on a lake. Their adult son brought along his guitar. They chatted, sang songs, fished, and ate sandwiches and drank beer. I think Americans have lost touch with the art of conversation, so we fill our free time with gadgets to keep us in motion. Ooh, quite profound, Elaine. Thank you so much for those thoughts. And let me just see. I've got to check my time here. It's hard to see my clock with my screen's expanded. I've only got about another minute, so let me just catch you up on some email as well. We're going to talk about, I do think that we should talk about the anthrax story, John. I think that's a great idea. Great idea. I'd love to talk about the new anti-Obama smear job from Jerome Corsi. This is from our guest coming up, Paul Waldman. We have a number of items on it on the front page, so go to mediamatters.org if you want to prep for our next interview and you happen to be near a computer where you can check that out. Jerome Corsi is the guy who wrote the book Smearing John Kerry during the last election. And we can also discuss how the media has picked up McCain's campaign race card jujitsu. I'm so glad we're going to talk about that, Paul Waldman, because I got to tell you something. That annoys me in part because the McCain campaign did morph him into a picture of a dollar bill, actually specifically a $100 bill in an ad where they morphed him into the president's heads in South Dakota as well as the Statue of Liberty. Gosh. 303-713-7600, but we all had a nickel for political hypocrisy. We wouldn't have to work. We'll be back coming up with Paul Waldman, MediaMatters.org.